Good morning, everyone. My name is Paul Harmon. I'm the pastor of Hope Chapel, and I want to especially welcome those who are watching via live stream. We're excited how that our audience on the live stream continues to increase and grow, and we're grateful, and I personally want to just encourage you to maybe fill out the information, allow us to get better acquainted, because everybody needs a local church. Everybody needs something to happen for them. And nothing like celebrating with a community. And if Hope Chapel or the city of Huntington Beach is where you gather, isn't it great to see some life that just forms in each of our lives and share that with each other? But the month of July is one of those great months, and so many would say, I'm going to go on vacation. But I've shifted just a little bit because we're going to hear some great, amazing speakers this month of July. When Ainsley and I go on vacation, we'll probably go and often go to another church, and it's not quite like that local assembly called Hope Chapel. We're glad we pay our respects to the Lord, but we miss everybody. So this July, we're doing things a little different. We're bringing some speakers, and I get a chance to introduce Pastor Zach Iflin to you because he's going to bring the message this morning. So I get the better of both worlds. I get to relax and enjoy the message being brought by people we know and respect, and enjoy all and each and every one of you. So with that in mind, I want to just highlight the joy for me personally as pastor of Hope Chapel. A year ago, when we were having 8 pastoral changes, staff changes, that was quite significant all at once. All good. We were planting a church. We were sending some off to go teach at our Foursquare Bible College. But there is a major shift with that. Brought in a new wave of young, talented, dedicated men and women. And Zach and Kara Siflin are that couple as well. And we're thrilled to have them come back from a 2-month stay. Their responsibility as directors of Surfing the Nations, and especially the GPS Global Pioneering School that happened 2 months ago. They're back from that. He'll give you a little bit more of that. But we're thrilled because Zach Iflin is our global and local outreach director and doing a phenomenal job. So they're back from their two-month vacation. They are all about Jesus and getting the message out. So here he is to be back home with us at Hope Chapel. Let's welcome Pastor Zach Iflin. Zach!
Good morning. Are you alive and well? I like that. That's way better than the 9. The 9 was a little sleepy still, so. But it is a little early. Let's be honest, it's not that early. But I'm stoked to be here. We're very excited to be back. My wife is helping over in the Kids Cove. And for those of you that don't know me, my name is Zach. As Pastor Paul said, I help with the global and local outreaches here. But I also get to help with a partnering organization that works with Hope Chapel called Surfing the Nations. My wife and I help oversee their growth, and so we were in Hawaii on the island of Oahu the last 2 months, 8 weeks exactly, to lead a program that we developed called the Global Pioneering School, or what we call for short GPS. So the whole point of that is to equip people to pioneer something, whether that's a small business, a ministry, a nonprofit, or another Surfing the Nations location. So I want to give you guys a little update on that because I was gone 2 months and some of you know what I do very well and some of you don't know me hardly at all or what that STN, Surfing the Nations thing is. So I just kind of want to bridge the gap there a little. So we were there 8 weeks and again, that was to equip people. So we had, and again, this is a kind of an upper level course. It's a very small, intimate setting. So we had a total of 6 people. Okay, we hosted 16 different guest speakers. We had all our students read 4 different leadership books over those 8 weeks and then do book reports as well. There was 3 formal business plans presented, 1 per couple. It was a 6 people, but 3 couples. 5 days a week, classroom, over 80 hours of classroom application time. We had like formal presentations given, kind of like in a Shark Tank TV setting to about 100 people. There were 7 different subjects taught over those 8 weeks, weekly homework assignments. Kimo and Lori Waltz here, some of our kind of associate pastors, helped lead an in-depth marriage assessment. we went over with them. We actually got to host four moms on mission. If you were here, a mom on a mission, can you raise your hand? So these three ladies, the three of the four that came out for what we hosted them for a week each to kind of see a little bit about what we do and get involved as well. So it's awesome having you guys. And we also got to pioneer five new websites for our organization. We're in a big growth stage. So we want you to know that as well. So check it out. It's our new website. It's called STN.global, or that stands for Surfing the Nations, but STN.global. So check it out. They look awesome, and we're hoping to get more partnership involvement, okay? And then, of course, we also kept our kids alive. That's always awesome. So, and I got to teach Malachi how to snorkel. He just turned 4 a couple weeks ago. So it's funny because he puts on the mask and the tube, and he's like so into fish and reef and snort. He tried it out here, and he's like, where's all the fish? But anyway, he can't even really swim, though. So when he takes the mask off, he's like, oop, oop, oop. So just tell him, Malachi, keep the mask on. Don't take it off. So it was a very productive, fruitful trip, and people kept asking, are you coming back? Are you guys coming back? We're like, yeah, we're coming back. We moved here. Like, we don't even want to go there. It sounds kind of silly to say that, but when you know where you're supposed to be, it doesn't really matter what beautiful destination is in front of you, you know? So we are amped to be back here, okay? So speaking on being amped, when you're in a high productive time zone or season of life, you kind of have to feed yourself and learn how to rest, right? So just like when you're training for a marathon or working out or maybe pushing through a high time of work or college or something like that, you have to feed yourself. And so one of the things I found while I was on this trip was this documentary, and I was just kind of vegging out at the end of the day, trying to recuperate, and I found this documentary, and it was amazing. So I want to show you a little clip about that because it totally segues into what we're going to be talking about.
When you see El Capitan for the first time, I mean, it takes your breath away.
Early in the morning, there's this one panel of the wall that illuminates first, the Dawn Wall.
It has never been climbed. Until Tommy Caldwell came along, nobody had actually considered trying it.
It's like stepping off the edge of the earth.
This very fragile little kid.
He didn't crawl till he was over 2.
I think my dad felt the best way to prepare this kid for the world was to toughen him up a little bit. And so he took me on all the craziest climbing walls you could ever do, and he did it with a 6-year-old. By the time I was 14 or 15, there was climbs that I could do that my dad couldn't.
Tommy became one of the best young climbers.
And then he got invited to Kyrgyzstan to rock climb. And all of a sudden, we were hostages.
After being held captive for 6 days, 4 young Americans confront the ultimate choice, to kill or be killed.
He saved our lives.
But he became a different person.
Ever since Kyrgyzstan, I just have this fire in me. This has always been my safe place, my way to deal with life.
I was looking across at
the Dawn Wall. The last unclimbed big swath of stone, I decided maybe that could be climbed. I needed a partner.
Kevin, he was one of the best in the world, at only up about 30 feet.
But everybody else thought I was crazy.
At this point, I have no idea what I'm getting into. It's about to consume 6 years of my life.
This is a pipe dream, man, come on.
Nothing left to do, but just take a couple deep breaths.
If Tommy and Kevin can actually do this, it will be,
come on,
the most difficult climb ever done. And it's gonna go on day after day.
Suddenly the whole world was watching.
And one of them stuck. It was pretty clear that that was it.
I don't wanna hold you back.
Maybe this climb really was impossible. We are capable of so much more than we could ever imagine.
Ooh, doesn't that get you excited? If it doesn't get you excited, you need to check your pulse. I can't highly recommend this documentary enough. It is not a religious or biblical documentary, but it is insane. It doesn't even matter if you enjoy the outdoors. There's so much leadership principle, community principle, strategy principle packed into this. I wish I could just show that for the sermon and then us just talk about it because it's so good. Okay, so it's exciting and everything. And so as I was watching it, I realized actually there's all these amazing things happening in it, but the real bottom line is it's about this guy's calling. He didn't say that. That's probably the only thing it didn't portray directly in the documentary. But really, that's what it's all about, is about his calling. And that's what we're going to talk about today, a Jonah-sized calling. So, you know, we're coming back here to Huntington Beach, my wife and I, from being gone 2 months, and we're just as fired up as we were when we just moved here about 6 months ago. So it was actually kind of cool to leave for 2 months and be reinvigorated to be back here. And the idea of us being here is our calling, our mission, our purpose, right? So when we teach people at this GPS program, there's really two things it boils down to. And one is, what's your why? Or in other words, what's God telling you to do? That's like one big principle you always got to know when you're pioneering or acting in your calling is, what's your why? The second one is, now that you know your why, what are you going to do? Or are you going to do it? Because that's even more scary than hearing or finding out your why. You know, is actually, are you going to do it? Okay? It's easy to know about a big vision or a big calling or a big purpose, but once you figure out, you hear God saying, that's what you need to do, that actually is frightening at sometimes. And today we're going to focus on Jonah chapter 1, an oldie but a goodie. Some of you have read that multiple times or you've seen it in children's books, but we're going to try to look at it from a different perspective today, okay? So Jonah, a little Jonah background, okay? Obviously he was a prophet. For those of you that don't know what a prophet is, I love the show The Prophet. If you haven't seen that show, that's also very good. I get a lot of inspiration from documentaries and TV shows. But a prophet, this is a guy who's heard from the Lord. This is a guy who's been trained by God to hear him. This is not someone that just showed up and was like, hey, I'm here. Here's what the message is. Who are you? People are, you know, you got to have some credibility and some anointing behind that being a prophet. Pastor Paul hasn't let me just come up here because I showed up. Okay? It's been an honor to serve with Pastor Paul and Ainsley. It's probably since we were 15 or 14, I've known them. That's how long I've known them. So it's been cool to been shaped by them and molded by them and inspired by them. And that's what a prophet does. They get training and credibility. They don't just show up on the scene with a bold, powerful word. So he's got some credibility to his name. The book of Jonah also is cool because it's one of the links in the prophetic world to Jesus' death. Jonah in the whale, 3 days. Jesus in the tomb, 3 days. Okay, some people forget that, but that's also important. It's also, he was one of only 4 prophets that Jesus mentioned by name during his ministry. So all these prophets in the Bible, he's only one of 4 that actually gets mentioned by Jesus. So he's got some street cred, if you know what I'm saying. Okay? So that's a little bit about Jonah. Let's look at Jonah chapter 1. Flip to your, I'm reading out of the NLT today. Okay? So you can follow along with whatever paper or electronic version you have. Most of them are almost the same, so it's pretty easy to follow along. All right? So Jonah chapter 1, the Lord gave, we'll just focus on the first 2 verses here. The Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai, get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it because I have seen how wicked its people are. Okay. So right there, this is setting the stage, setting the scene. You know, nobody is following God. They have turned their back on him. You know, prophets are, all the prophets that you know about, have been instructed by God to call people back to Jesus, to God. Return back to me, Israel. Don't do that, Israel. Stop being silly, Israel. Get your stuff together, Israel. That's what all the prophets are doing. This guy is the first prophet to speak against another nation in their territory. So that's also really key. No other prophets have done that up until this guy. So that's pretty huge. Let alone did he speak to another nation. It wasn't just another nation. It was their arch nemesis. It was their worst enemy. So that's why you see Jonah running and getting swallowed by a fish and all that great stuff. He actually had some pretty good reason. Not only was it scary, but it was their worst enemy. So just because of that, that's a little bit of a realization, but that doesn't necessarily justify it, okay? So, but I find that very interesting also about Jonah, that he was the first prophet to speak against a nation other than Israel while he was actually in that nation, okay? So I thought about that and started thinking about, you know, the Nineveh, and, which is Assyria, and it's like, how does that relevant to today? Us in Orange County, Huntington Beach, besides just some good information for you. It's actually a little hard to connect, but I'm going to actually tell you why I think it's totally relevant, okay? So you have a great city like Nineveh. They're trend-setting, culture-setting, and food, and policy, and law, fashion. It's a big city, right? It says in the book of Jonah, it took them around 3 days or more to explore the city, okay? At the end of Jonah, I think it talks about how it's over 120,000 people, you know? It mentions that. So it's telling you, like, this is pretty big, okay? But Nineveh, being a part of Assyrian culture, was also pretty wicked, pretty gnarly. And that's why they were also one of Israel's greatest enemies. So these guys were not only trendsetting in good stuff, but they're also trendsetting in hardcore war tactics. I mean, these guys were the ones that set the trends with putting peoples on poles and letting them die there for multiple days. They were the people that started peeling skin back as people were dying and letting them die just open-skinned, you know? That's crazy. Prostitution and all kinds of hardcore radical things, they were also trend-setting as well. So I was thinking, okay, Huntington Beach, we're not putting anyone on poles, but we're also a great city, you know? We're Surf City USA. We actually have set a lot of trends in the action sports world, which impacts music and fashion and athletes, okay? So that's huge. Did you know that we're one of the top 20 largest cities in the state of California? There's a lot of cities in California. We're one of the top 20 largest cities in California, okay? We're at over 16 million tourists a year just in Huntington Beach. That's more than the state of Hawaii, okay? We have awesome events and attractions and all kinds of Vans U.S. Open starts next week. This is like a crazy trend-setting culture that we are living in. It's really cool. Top-rated city to live in multiple years in a row as well. Really amazing place. So if you've forgotten that you live in an amazing place, that's just a little reminder. But at the same time, we too have our Assyrian gnarliness. Did you know that Huntington Beach is the city with the number one most drug deaths in Orange County? The number one most drug deaths in Orange County. We got that. We're also the DUI capital of California. Did you know that? We're the DUI capital of California. It breaks my heart to even say this one too, as well as I was getting my teeth cleaned at our new dentist as we've been getting more settled here. And, you know, you always do small talk with your dentist. And the dental hygienist, you know, she found out I went to Huntington Beach High School. She said, Huntington Beach High School, I didn't send my kid there because they call it Heroin High, not Huntington High. I said, what? So I asked a couple other moms that knew my mom, have you heard about this? Well, of course, all the moms always know all the juicy information. They said, yeah, that's true. People are calling it Heroin High. So that's crazy. That's just breaking my heart. So it's trend setting and is awesome as it is, it's got this bipolarness to it. How can it be a top-rated city to live in multiple years in a row, but have the most DUIs in the state of California? And I think it's top four. Our city is the fourth city in the nation. Isn't that crazy? Did you know that? Yeah, that's where we live. We have all these amazing things, yet all this crazy stuff happening, okay? So I think it's a modern-day Nineveh, in my opinion, okay? So let's get into Jonah. Jonah 1, verse 3. But Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. He went down to the port of Joppa where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket and went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. Let me put up the map here, actually. It took him a lot of effort to disobey. He was really just supposed to go around 550 miles, and he goes left instead of right, 2,500 miles. That's like me saying, hey, I feel called. I feel the calling. I hear the instruction to go to Huntington Beach. See you later, Pastor Paul. I'm going 2,500 miles across the ocean back to Hawaii. So if I go back to Hawaii, you can all hold me accountable. That's not what I'm supposed to do, okay? So that's what he's doing. Look at, this is a lot of effort he had to exude to disobey. Look at that scripture again. He got up. He went in the opposite direction. He went down to the port. He found a ship. He bought a ticket. He went on board. He started sailing. I tell you what, if my kids disobeyed that many times deliberately, they would have really red bums. That's a lot of work to disobey that much. You have to choose that willingly to disobey that much. It didn't just happen. Of course, we learned, you know, Nineveh's gnarly. So, and it's their worst enemy, Israel's worst enemy. And not only is he scared, but because it's his worst enemy, he doesn't like Nineveh. He hates Nineveh. That's their enemy. So my question to you already off the bat is, who do you hate? Most Christians don't answer that because they're too nice. Who do you dislike then? Okay? Who needs the gospel most, you know? You better get ready, because based off what we find out in Jonah, the same applies to us. So you better get ready. Okay? So today we're going to talk about 5 points when you're running from your calling. 5 juicy points I'm very excited about, okay? So point number one, the further you drift, the worse it gets. The further you drift, the worse it gets. Jonah chapter 1, verse 4 and 5 says, then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. That's heavy. You know, I used to work on boats, and I take people on boats in one of our leadership courses for a 5-day sailing trip around the Hawaiian Islands. And it's like all good. Everyone's doing selfies on the bow when they're in the bay and the harbor. And then as soon as we leave the bay, you know, Hawaii is a lot different than, waters are different than here. Obviously, they're different color and temperature. But it's deep water fast. So here it's much more gradual. Florida is even more gradual, right? You got to go way far out just to get into a certain depth. As soon as you leave the harbor in Hawaii, it's game on. So if there's swell, you're going to feel it immediately. People get dunked as soon as they're doing bow. We're on a 100-foot sailboat. People get dunked. Boop, baptized. Sunglasses gone, shirts wet, throw up. Whole different game all of a sudden. And that's what happens. So these guys are, these are professional mariners crying out, help me, God. That's gnarly. When you start hearing boats creak and crack, and water's coming on, it's not like you're on the freeway and your car is starting to overheat and you just get to pull over. You're out of control. There's nothing you can do about it. That's where they're at. One of the captains I used to work for would say when it would get like that, he's like, it's getting a little nautical, Zach. I was like, yeah, I guess you could say that. Okay? But the point here is sometimes we try and separate the calling from the following, and you can't do that. He tried to separate the calling from the following here in this first point. That's like walking away from your purpose. That's the same as walking away from the person that gave you purpose. You can't do that. It's a combo deal. Okay? So, he tried to get away from the guy that was calling him. And you can't do that. You can't be a real believer and have both those worlds. It's almost funny. Jonah thought he could get away from God at the dock. It's like God's at the dock. Oh, I missed the boat. Jonah's shoots. What are we gonna do? No. He can never escape him, right? That's Psalms 139. Verse 7 through 12, I think we've got that as well. It says, I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If he's in you, you can't get him out of you. You can ignore him. You can disobey him. But there's no heart surgery where you can get that guy out once he's in. Okay? I can never get away from your presence. Verse 8, if I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night, but even darkness I cannot hide from you. Some of us think he can't get to us because he's a regional-based God or a seasonal-based God. Newsflash. Turn on your radar, turn up the gain. He can get to you wherever he wants to get to you. It doesn't matter if you're in the club at Hurricanes or Black Bull or I don't know what other, I'm old now. It's like the Boogie and Anaheim. There's all this, the Shark Club by Harbor. All these are probably closed now, right? You can't, he's got a VIP access pass to all those clubs, right? It doesn't matter if you're in the car or your truck on the way to the job site. So just as much as it is deliberate disobeying, even if you're just in the grind of life, he still can get to you, and he still wants to get to you. It doesn't matter if you're at your office or in your school classroom or if you're in the garden or if you're walking on the boardwalk. He can get to you. He's not a regional, seasonal God. So don't pull a Jonah. That can be your new hashtag when you see someone being stupid. Hashtag don't be a pull a Jonah, okay? So that's point two. That was point one. The further you drift, the worse it gets. Point two, the price you paid was more than necessary when you're running from your calling. The price you pay was more than necessary. It costs more to run than to obey. It's like the saying, do the job right the first time, because it usually costs you more, takes longer, et cetera, et cetera. Same's here. It costs more to run than to obey. Financially, health-wise, relationship-wise, etc. Okay? And again, some of us here aren't pulling a full Jonah, but you're cruising. And that's kind of where I was at. I remember on one of my first trips with Surfing the Nations, I was on a trip to Indonesia, a month-long trip, and I was on a boat trip within that trip, a one-week-long boat trip within that, and we were going between the islands, delivering donations and surfing spots along the way. And I really felt like God just told me, hey, and I really wanted to work in the corporate surf world. Like, that's kind of all the mentor, radical believers around me were in the corporate surf world, and so that's what I wanted to do. And I felt like God spoke to me directly on that trip as I was on the bow of the boat one day. How long, Zach, will it be cool to sell T-shirts? And I just got, like, whacked. Because, I mean, that's ultimately, like, what the corporate surf world is doing. They're retail, you know. They're selling soft goods. And it's really cool, actually. But I felt like he just, boom, popped me right in the gut. It's like, well, how long is that actually going to be cool, Zach? It's not that it's wrong, but how long will it be cool for you? And that dramatically changed the course of my life. Okay? So storms can be attention grabbers. You know, sometimes people think storms are evil or irrelevant, but they can be attention grabbers to get you to pay less than you need to pay. So he's trying to save you money and time and energy and relationships by sending you a storm sometimes. He's kind of like saying, wake up, okay? Point number three, The scenery may change, but not your assignment. So when you're running from God's calling on your life, the scenery can change, but not your assignment, which we learn here with Jonah. Okay? So from us, my wife and I come from Hawaii to Huntington Beach, the scenery is fully changed, but not our assignment. We came here for a specific reason. We didn't just say, let's relocate to Huntington Beach. We came here with a specific assignment in mind. Whether or not you know that, I know that, and I'm telling you that now. I didn't come here just because it's Huntington Beach. Okay? Or maybe you're married and then you get babies. Your scenery has changed. Your nights, your sleep pattern has changed, but that doesn't mean your assignment has changed. Or maybe you had a full house and now you're empty nesters. The scenery has changed, but your assignment has not changed at all. Or maybe you've had a career and now you're retired or going into retirement. The scenery has changed, but your assignment has not changed at all. If anything, it's gotten stronger. So Jonah 1, verse 4 through 6 says, the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, right? We talked about this in the last one. The storm rose. The sailors are afraid. They threw the cargo over to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck where he lay down and fall into a deep sleep. Verse 6, the captain went to him and said, how can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice so that we will not perish. The scenery has changed for these professional mariners. They recognize that. And it's a good thing they did recognize it, actually. You know, God can do anything he wants with you and impact nations in crazy ways if you just say yes. That's hard to do. If you just say yes. The Godfather of missions. Does anyone know it? Who the Godfather of missions is? Not Jesus or the disciples, but the like first modern day Godfather of missions. William Carey. Read his book. It's amazing. The scenery changed, but it's crazy how well he stuck to his assignment. His wife went crazy, then she died. He got remarried, then she died. India is like combating him. His home sending church is denying him. The scenery was changing all the time. But he said yes, and he stuck to his assignment. Or Lauren Cunningham, the founder of YWAM, the largest youth missions organization in the world. They got 20,000 some volunteer missionaries in all over countries. Just because he said yes. He stuck to his assignment, and God will do crazy things with that. I love this quote by Mark Twain. It says, the greatest day of your life is when you are born, and the second greatest day is when you figure out why. That's knowing your why. That's knowing your assignment, and he got it. It's a great quote, okay? Okay, point number 4, everyone around you feels the burden, everyone around you feels the effects. Everyone around you feels the effects. Jonah 1, 7 through 16. Then the sailors said to each other, come, let us cast lots to find who is responsible for this calamity. They cast lots, and the lot, of course, fell on Jonah. So they asked him, tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble? What kind of work do you do? Where are you from? What's your country? That's like in Hawaii, like if you're not from there and you're like it's a good day of surfing, and they're going to hassle you. If you're there, you know what I'm saying? Say, hey, bro, where are you from? Where do you stay? That's when you know you're like in it. You're like, just answer the questions. When they say, where you stay, it's serious. Okay? That's what they're doing here. They're smoking this guy out. Okay? He says, I'm a Hebrew and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the seas and the land. In my opinion, he should have left the word sea out, but he did. This terrified them and they asked, what have you done? They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, what should we do to make this sea calm down? He says, pick me up and throw me overboard. I know it's my fault. Verse 13, instead the men did their best to row back, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder. Then they cried out to the Lord, please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for throwing this guy into the sea. Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard. At this, and the sea, raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered sacrifices to him and vows to follow him. I love that. That's awesome. That is everyone feeling the effect right there. Okay? Point number five. When you run, it turns your responsibilities into someone else's burden. When you run, it turns your responsibilities into someone else's burdens. We just saw that with the sailors. When Jonah 1:17 says, "Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights." The whole rest of Jonah happens after this. This is just the first chapter. But even the fish had to take responsibility for this guy. In my opinion, he threw him up on the beach in chapter 3 or 4 because it was like indigestion. Even he had to deal with his irresponsibility. Even the fish had to deal with it. Okay? So even God will even use animals. He'll use whatever he wants to take on your responsibility because he wants the job done. He wants obedience. He wants your friendship. Okay? So even when you run, your responsibilities will be taken on by someone else, and that's a burden. You know, John C. Maxwell teaches a lot of great stuff, but one of his awesome principles is called the Law of the Bad Apple. It's a great principle to read on. And it basically just says, train them or trade them. So basically, if someone's negative on your team, the two things you really can only do is train them to be how you want them to be or trade them, get them off your team. Even these sailors were taking that principle before it was even, you know, created into effect. They're like, let's get this guy out of here. He's ruining the whole thing, okay? But when you run to your calling, transitioning here, not running away, but when you run to your calling, three things happen. One, it doesn't feel like a sacrifice. It's not a sacrifice for me to be here. People were like, why'd you come to Huntington Beach? I can't believe you left Hawaii. I was like, no, we want to be here. It's not a sacrifice. Two, you count it as a privilege. It's a privilege when you're doing the calling, whatever that is, the assignment, whatever that is. And three, your obedience brings lasting fruit. Okay? So knowing your why is one thing, but then the mission of doing it. So why is like vision. Then there's mission, which is doing the vision, right? So the obedience is going to bring lasting fruit of the why. And that's the only kind of fruit he cares about, is lasting fruit. He doesn't want premature fruit. He doesn't want fruit that spoils or goes rotten. He wants fruit that reproduces and reproduces and reproduces. That's what he loves, okay? And that's what he wants us to do. So in this time, right now, I'd love for you to kind of take a minute, 30 seconds to a minute here. We're just going to have some silence. And I want you to figure out your why. You know, Karis and I have an actual why statement. Why are we here? Because we want to equip and inspire people to their full potential in fun ways. I can weave that statement into anything I do. And it sounds a little cheesy, but I know exactly why I'm here. And I don't know if everyone here knows that for themselves. And that's an important thing to be able to answer. Because otherwise you get caught up with babies and changing and work and airport and the grind of life and you forget all of a sudden your why, aka your assignment. Okay, so take a minute and write down your why. Why am I here? Write it on your bulletin. Write it on your phone. And if you know your why, the next question obviously is, what's your mission? What's your assignment with your why? What are you doing in Huntington Beach? You know it's a gnarly place. It's a great place, but it's a gnarly place. What's your mission here? What's your mission in your hometown if you're not from here? Or in your work? Or in your home? Or in your school? What's your mission? Because I guarantee you, he wants you to activate, just like Jonah did. So let me close with some prayer for myself and for you. I'm excited. I'm fired up on Jonah, and I'm excited to be here in Huntington Beach. We're entering into the busy season of Huntington Beach. Some locals get a little, like, bitter taste in their mouth. Like, oh, it's all these people coming to Huntington Beach. It's like, are you kidding me? This is perfect. They're coming to us. Like, That's why I'm here. Okay? So I want you to get excited. Let me pray for you. Work on your why statement. Work on your mission. Speak it out. Write it on your mirror. Put it on your phone. Send it to a family or friend member. Let me close with prayer. Lord, thank you so much for today. We love you, Lord. We're excited for you to use us. You created us for a purpose. Just like Mark Twain said, the greatest day was when we were born, and the second was when we know why. You've called us to do lots of things, clearly laid out in your word. So, Lord, we're just asking you to give us fresh vision on our why, on our mission, on our assignment. Don't let us pull a Jonah and go the other way, or even just cruise. We want to be close to you. We want to be friends with you. We want to be fruitful for you. We love you, Lord. We totally trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's all stand together as we sing this song here one last time. And how great the chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb, and in desperation and I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my
for his message. We're so grateful. Thank you, Zach. Just before I pray us off a blessing, just to recall as well, what I always enjoy about the Iflins, Zach and Karis Iflin, to always bring people back to Christ or back to a calling. There's always a challenge there. And whenever you get around them, you just feel like, wow, I need to step up my game once again. It's just like the heart of the Father, because he wants everybody in his forever kingdom. That's our game. God is wanting to have people turn from a state of lostness and despair and sin to a life of victory, to a life of joy and happiness. There are a lot of people that still need to have that breakthrough in their life. But here we are getting a chance to worship and celebrate what God's done for us. But there can be those times that there can be those among us that have not really made Christ everything he needs to be in their life. That calling to Christ is not going on. We know him. We show up every now and then, but Christ is not number one, that first love. The other thing is that calling, and we know we should be doing something when just a strong, encouraging, get-involved message like we just heard. Sometimes people would say, well, I don't have the energy, or I'm aging out, or I'm now facing retirement. But our concern should always be never bury those talents God has given us. And even if we would consider ourselves a minimal talented person, that one talent, and bury that, we've all read in the scriptures. When that individual shows up before Almighty God, and they said, I know you're a hard man asking too much of people. Therefore, I buried what you gave me. Here it is. I didn't lose it. And you remember the dialogue. God just says, you should have given it to somebody that's getting my work done. At least put it into the bank for interest. That can also be a calling for us. Some of us say, I don't have the energy. I don't have the mindset. My best days are behind me. But we can still step into contributing toward, investing in, helping so many of our young people get on with the kingdom of God. So I want to encourage you, come to Christ. If you are not fully committed to him, you who are watching, maintain a call. What does that look like? How can you participate in our Heavenly Father's business of getting lost people found? They're just lost. Nobody has told them how to get there. You and I know. And now the call for us for Christ, the call to get the message out, or the call to contribute who and towards somebody who's getting that message out. So let me just invite you to close your eyes for a moment. Let me lead you in a prayer, just a surrendering of that commitment, especially for you who are here and have never given your life to Christ, or you really, like Jonah, we would call that term backslidden. You have just kind of run completely 2,500 miles away from God's plan. Here's the prayer. Please repeat it after me. It goes like this. Dear Jesus, I'm willing to give my life to you. I thank you for giving your life to me. I ask you now, dear Jesus, forgive me for the lack of involvement with you. Lord, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins, for washing me clean, and getting me back into a commitment with you. I surrender my life. I surrender my substance. I give you my plans. Anything you want, I give it to you. Now, dear Lord, make my life fruitful. Let there be much fruit that comes out of this prayer. Let it be all to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Yeah, glory to God. Glory to God. If you prayed that prayer and you know what the Lord spoke to you about, would you go ahead and send us an email and send it online there? We'll get a hold of that, and we'd love to talk with you a little bit further. If I have some of our staff that are here, our chaplains as well, life group leaders, we currently welcome you to come forward. We had a wonderful time here up front praying for people. If you're needing prayer for any reason, please come forward. Let me just highlight, looking forward to, it's a great, powerful, wonderful month of July. This Wednesday, we're doing a Wednesday church service, but it is a little different. It's our Spiritual Gift of Healing seminar, 5 weeks. If you have signed up or considering going with me to El Salvador, today's the day, the deposit is in. And a requirement is come to these seminars because we're hoping to have a wonderful way of just seeing so many lives changed and the miraculous happen. If you've been a part of our leadership, enrichment, and development lead on Sunday, you met Kevin Edwards. He's going to be our presenter. You know the message that he brought. You heard the testimony of the healings that took place. We're wanting to make an impact, make a difference in Huntington Beach. I believe these Wednesdays are going to be where it's at. And finally, Saturday night gala. If you are invested or interested in any way, you and I together have launched Hope Chapel San Salvador. The Muellers will be here to give a presentation. Please join us. It's this Saturday, 4:30. Sign up. It's there. It's a nominal fee for the dinner, but I think you're going to be quite impressed. I'm excited that Creative Impact Ministries is going to be developing a documentary for our missionaries, and it's quite a big deal. Big deal. Nothing like a movie made of your work and your work assignment for the kingdom. Thanks for listening to those final encouraging elements. So glad that you're here. What a wonderful Sunday it's been here. Beautiful Huntington Beach. Now we know why we live here, right? After hearing the stats. Boys, Zach, wow. Well, with that, let me pray off a blessing. Father, we love you, and we thank you for the transformation that has happened in our lives personally. Lord, we owe you everything for what you have done for us personally. And when we make a personal decision like we've just done, we impact many persons. So, Lord, let your blessing rest wonderfully upon those who are here, our guests, as well as our participators. Lord, to God be the glory. Let each have a great week in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, everyone. Come forward for prayer if you need it. Have a great Sunday. See you next Sunday. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.